Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to take this opportunity to tell you about an event we have coming up this summer. On Saturday, June 24th, we will be hosting the first annual Rooster Olympics. Rooster Olympics is a fundraiser for Webb Street School. Webb Street is a school that caters to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So this school is near and dear to my heart. I have a lot of affection for the people that work there and the children that attend that school. So we have decided to raise some money to help them get some interactive equipment for their gymnasium.
So what is Rooster Olympics?
Outside of being a fundraiser, Rooster Olympics is a lot of fun. We've got games going on. So we've got five different games we're playing, and if people want to compete in these games, it's $10 to compete, and that's money that will go to the school. And each game will have a tournament. So we're going to have a cornhole tournament.
Okay, cool.
We're going to have a beer pong tournament, but we'll be using water. We don't want to encourage people getting wasted. We're also going to have a limbo contest.
Oh, okay.
I'm bringing back some old school stuff here. We're going to have a pencil fight tournament.
Ooh,
remember
pencil
fighting?
Yeah. Pa! I need a good pencil for that.
Yeah. Well, we don't want no cheating, so we're going to get our own pencils.
Oh.
And then the last thing will be a rooster call contest.
Okay.
So everyone that wants to compete in these, you pay $10 and it's basically a donation to the school, and the winner of each event will get a little medal, like little Rooster Olympics medal.
That's awesome.
And then at the end of the games, everyone that competes, whether you win or lose, you're automatically entered into a rock, paper, scissor contest to determine the actual winner of the Rooster Olympics. So we'll have a trophy for the Rooster Olympics winner that wins the rock, paper, scissor tournament. And the final four take place on stage before the headliner.
That's awesome.
So that's going to be fun. So that's the game part of Rooster Olympics. But that's not even close to what all we got going on. Ariel, tell them a little bit about the Misfit Market and what they'll be doing.
So we'll have the Misfit Market out here. We'll have 20 vendors, local vendors. There'll be a variety of items. Try not to duplicate anything, but having a variety that everybody can enjoy and come out and shop our vendors that we have.
That's right. And each of those 20 vendors are making a donation to participate in this event, which will also be money that we're raising for the school.
Yep.
Now, none of this would be possible without the sponsors that we were able to reel in. So I want to go ahead and take a moment to thank First Horizon Bank, Kingsway, Sundrop, the Threshold Media Group, and Rock Lab Records. All of these companies made donations to help us offset the cost of the outdoor stage.
That's awesome.
The lights, sound, and power. And you heard that right, outdoor stage. That means we've got two stages. We're going to have music inside and outside all day long. Our doors will open at noon and the music will start at 2. So we've got some great bands coming. Scars Remain is one of them.
That's awesome.
And as you can see the graphic on the screen now, these are all 12 bands that will be performing at Rooster Olympics. And I want to give a shout out to Missy at Creative Music Management, who is not only a sponsor for this event as well, but is also the promoter that brought all these bands together for this show.
She did a really good job.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Missy, for everything you do.
In addition to all of this, we're going to have two food trucks, a dessert tent, and Cavendish Brewery will be on site.
That's right. Shout out to Scott at Cavendish for participating. They've agreed to bring some of their product outside. And you're asking, where is this all going to happen? Well, it's in the parking lot behind our building. We've permitted the back parking lot so you can take your drinks outside and Cavendish can be on site. They'll be pouring beers and they're going to donate a portion of their sales as well to the school.
That's amazing.
Amazing, that's right. But wait, there's more. That's right. We have a raffle going on. And we're raffling off not one, not two, but three brand new guitars. Thanks to Missy at Creative Music Management for donating a purple Schecter G6. Big shout out and thanks to Urban Woodstock for donating a Jackson electric guitar. And Dove Cage, the band, has donated a brand new bass guitar.
That's awesome.
So there are three opportunities to win guitars in this raffle. And in addition to the guitars, we'll be raffling off merch bundles all day long from the bands and from the Rooster.
That's cool. That is so awesome.
So raffle tickets are $5. You can actually get those now. Look for Creative Music Management on social media and reach out to them. They're the ones hosting the raffle. You can go ahead and purchase tickets in advance for the raffle, and you don't even have to be here to win.
No.
You can win a guitar and not even show up, but we encourage you to come.
Yeah, come and enjoy it. So let me get this straight. Saturday, June 24th, Rooster Olympics. We've got two stages, 12 bands, games, 20 vendors, two food trucks, beer, dessert, and a raffle with three guitars. How much is all this going to cost?
Well, you might think this is going to be an expensive show, but it's really not. We're only charging $10 a ticket, and that's thanks to our sponsors.
That's awesome.
That's right. So for 10 bucks, you can come party all day, have fun all day, shop, get entertained, drink, whatever you want to do. This is an all-ages show. It's family-friendly. We will have some Web Street representatives on site.
That's good.
So if anybody wants more information about what they do or wants to make a donation.
Yeah.
And look, you know, if you can't come but you want to support, buy a raffle ticket. Buy a ticket to the show. You don't have to show up.
It's only $10.
But we hope you do. And look, you know, this is just one thing that we can do to give back to the community that we serve, the community that's keeping us going, keeping us in business. And thanks to everyone involved. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to Missy at Creative Music Management for putting the show together. Big thank you to all of the bands that are performing at this show. I can't say enough about how proud I am of the work that we're able to do to give back. So check us out Saturday, June 24th, first annual Rooster Olympics, and hopefully we're so successful that we get to do it again next year.
That'd be awesome.
Peace and love. Stop watching, like, and you can see like dips and stuff throughout it. And most episodes don't get past 20 minutes. Most people will either stop watching after about 15 to 20 minutes, or and come back later, or just not watch at all. It doesn't tell you like how many people watch it all the way through. That's something that they don't tell you. But you know, people have a short attention span anyway.
You just gotta kind of guess on like average view times.
I try to like, if there's something that I want to bring up, I try to bring it up within like the first 10 minutes or so. You know, if there's something that I think is interesting, anything like that. Like we did an episode a couple weeks ago with this comedian, and somebody went on Facebook and was dogging the Rooster because we had booked a drag show, and I spent like 10 minutes making fun of this lady. The comedian jumped in, it was kind of funny. We actually, that one show got more comments than any of our shows have.
I'm not gonna lie, man. I showed up for a buddy's birthday one night, and it ended up being a drag night. We had no idea. They just all piled in, and like, there's so much, I hate to say this, there's a lot of money in that. Like, that place was never that packed before. People are throwing dollars and shit everywhere.
Well, I mean, we hope so.
That's good news.
People show up and spend money.
I don't knock it, man. I mean, if I was a business owner, I would throw a drag night for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, you guys have heard me say things like this before. Me and Missy's talked about this, about, you know, providing opportunities for everybody, all different types of art forms, all different types of artists, and unfortunately not everybody sees certain types of art as art, you know, people have blinders on.
Phones in here.
Yep. But anyways, who gives a shit, right? Either they'll show up or they won't.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to have a good time. My bartender's already mapped out what she's going to wear that night. She's telling me about it last night.
It's just one of those things. You got to cast as big of a net as you can.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see. I mean, much to my surprise, I thought that our country shows would be where most people show up. This is Gastonia. I thought that when we did country shows, we'd have more people in here than any, but they're actually some of the lowest attended shows.
Wow.
I mean, really? But yeah. I mean, Limp Bizkit came out of Gastonia, so I mean, the whole.
Well, Fred Durst did.
Look, he is Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, fair enough. But I mean, there is a lot of talent here, man. You know, and all different genres. There's a lot of great country artists from this area. There's a lot of, but you know, it's just I don't know if maybe it's the area, maybe it's just Gastonia. But what I'm seeing, you know, proof's in the pudding, right? What I'm seeing is more people come to hard rock and heavy metal shows than anything else. You know, now we've done some hip hop shows where we've had some decent turnouts.
Yeah.
But
so what was the deal Friday, man? These guys last second just didn't show up.
Oh,
I almost missed a war to win. Like,
so, yeah, that was it. Was so funny. Josh came here Friday. So Friday night we had a rap rock show planned, right?
Yeah.
And we had four rappers lined up and three metal bands. It was going to be, you know, a collab show. Three of the rappers didn't show up.
They smoked one doobie too much.
Yeah, didn't show up. So as a result, we shuffled the lineup a little bit, and Award of Win had to go shoot a video the next morning, so they asked if they could go on before Black Market Currency. And it was funny, because I'm back there behind the bar, and I just hear Josh's voice right when Award of Win goes on. I was like, I made it in time, brother!
they're giving everybody a dab. Michael Carter actually... He got a picture of me crawling on the stage because I was like giving that so fast. My ring shot off. And like, I'm sitting there, like, where the hell did it go? And I saw this little glare over here in the corner. I'm like, oh shit. So like, I got on all fours and just crawled over and grabbed it. And he's sitting there with a camera, like, gotcha.
Just sitting there. Just don't be conspicuous. Crawling on stage like a fucking gremlin.
Don't it was
be
suspicious. Suspicious.
Yeah. I need my gold. My gold flew away. It's I need black it.
Bear in the middle of the Arctic.
Precious. My $1 wish ring. No.
Fucking black bear in the middle of the Arctic.
I mean, I wouldn't have been bothered about it, but I did see it shine there. Might as well
never
grab
to me.
Well, for me, it was a cool moment because despite, you know, the rappers not showing up, it was just, you know, moments like that. I treasure those moments because it's, you know, you actually come to shows and support other bands that you're not in. Right. Now, a lot of bands don't do that. Some bands do, and we're talking to we're talking to a young man's burial. And this is Josh, we got Kyle, we got Najee, and we got Lee. Say hey, everybody.
What's up?
Tell everybody,
what's up, man?
Tell everybody what you do in the band. We'll go through and introduce each one of you.
I'm Lee. I play bass somehow. I stand around, look pretty. You know, all the basic bass players' things.
I'm Najee. I set the drums up, and then I let the real drummer come in.
Kyle, play guitar.
Josh, vocals and part-time tambourine, but we don't have any songs with tambourine yet.
It's coming.
So they often go by AYMB, and you guys got some big news lately. You dropped a couple of singles, and Josh was in here bragging about it Friday. I couldn't be happier for you. You want to tell them what you did in a week?
I don't really know. I didn't break it down for the week. Just one of our friends had sent me a picture of the streams that we were at so far, and you know, pretty much 2 months since our first single was released, and our second single, what's it been, a month? I believe we're hitting 20,000 streams at this point.
Yeah, you're
like most of the Spotify things I handle, but I know looking at it, I know Crisis we put out, what's it,
3 months.
March 9th, I think, or 14th, and it's up to damn near 12,000.
It was
streams.
Over 12,000 when I looked.
Yeah,
and I will admit, about 100 of those have probably come from the Rooster's PA system.
Yes, it doesn't
matter.
Appreciate it,
because I mean, the main goal on Spotify is just get your songs up to as many people as possible to listen to. And, I mean, I'm constantly going around like, hey man, I want to listen to my song online, just pushing it here, there, wherever it can go, and people seem to latch on. They're loving the hell out of Crisis. In 10 years we put it out April 9th, and it's
April 14th.
It's one of those 9th, 14th.
So what we're saying is in 2 months you're up to over 20,000 streams on just the two songs you have on Spotify. And that's, I mean, that's a big deal for a local band.
Oh, yeah.
So congratulations on that. I was really happy because I saw the post you put out on social media with the screenshot on the, who does your social media?
Messy.
Of course.
Well, you don't want any of us to talk to the general masses.
Well, I mean, we tried, but remember tagging everybody and everything. I was just like,
it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
that whole Facebook.
And then there's some, like, you're trying to tag someone, but you didn't type it in right. So she does a really good job with that.
End up tagging up.
Thank you, Missy.
End up pushing up Vineyard in Vermont for a show or something.
Well, this is probably a good time to say, so this is the first episode of a creative music management takeover of Rooster Radio. AYMB will be performing at our Rooster Olympics. Creative Music Management, who, you know, if you haven't seen the episode with Missy, it's her brainchild. Creative Music Management manages, what, about 15 or so bands now, maybe more. And so we've teamed up with Missy to do the Rooster Olympics. It's the big fundraiser. You saw the ad for it at the beginning of the show. And so for the month of May and the month of June, leading up to the Rooster Olympics, we're bringing on to the show bands that are playing those. And they're all creative music management bands. So thank you very much for being here. And thank you for, you know, jumping on to perform at Rooster Olympics. And then we have a couple bands that are going to play the birthday show on May 27th.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the first of the takeover. So you'll so strap in. You're about to get real familiar with creative music management bands and the music that they make. So let me ask you this. 20,000 streams, people are digging your song. Is there going to be a music video in the near future?
I've been wanting one so bad.
Do you have a concept for either of the songs? Like for a video concept?
We got a couple for Crisis.
I got a few, but they're just stupid. So I'm like, let's put that on the back burner. It involves giant rubber suits.
We were thinking about we actually thought about riding the mini bikes and Teletubby costumes and stuff like that.
I like that was my favorite idea, the mini bikes and Teletubby costumes.
It's just in my opinion. You see all these metal videos. It's all doom, gloom. It's like, yeah, we're hard. It's like, man, we're doing this to have fun. I want you to have fun with it.
I actually like the Teletubby idea a lot. That's pretty dope.
I was talking to one of the guys with Brandon Jones at the radio room when I was there to watch Award and Win, and he was like, man, we love the idea. When do we get started on that? And, well, we invested in our recordings instead of trying to go a different route. We just wanted to get something out there that's professional. And sounds. We wanted the people to hear our music how we hear it. I've had a lot of people, a lot of my friends, family, a lot of people, they want to either take part in it and watch you create it, or they're just like, hand me the finishing product. I don't want to hear this mess, you know? But they're really happy with the finishing product. And with Zach, working with Zach, he has similar influences as well. We have worked with other people in studios, and they couldn't really grasp what our sound was. Because we're kind of all over the place, and we like to do different things. We like to try to keep the energy level flowing throughout the entire song and just go on this emotional roller coaster just to keep people active and moving.
You guys do have great stage presence. I mean, you've played on our stage twice already. And I told Kyle after the other week when you guys were here at the the Bleeding Hearts Ball.
Yeah.
You know, you're one of the more fun bands to watch on stage. You know, you guys all look like you're having fun, and that's the mark of, you know, a good show. You know, you never want it to be boring. You never want to look like you're not into it. You know, Kyle looks like he's about to pop a vein in his neck. it's great.
It's 'cause I am.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. So I get that you want to work with producers that kind of get where you're coming from. You know, I mean, I hate the whole comparison thing. I try not to compare bands to other sounds, but when you guys were here the other week, you did cover Deftones, and I was like, man, that's the perfect song for these guys to cover. Like, the perfect band, I should say, for you guys, because that's kind of the wheelhouse that you're in.
And Kyle fought so hard to get that song going, because he's the only person in this band that actually likes Deftones.
Yeah, nobody else likes Deftones. times but me. I don't get it.
Wow.
What's
wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's
a, yes.
Well, I'm more of like a loud, energetic type vocalist. And like,
you don't like
to
being
be
sexy?
That slow. And I'm just like,
it's not slow, it's sexy.
Yeah, it's more. It's more. He doesn't like being the center of attention, being the front man, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. Talking about stage performance, I appreciate it a lot. I mean, 50% of the time, my eyes is closed and I'm freaking the hell out. I'm not even going. I'm not going to be that guy that's like, oh, hell yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I try my best. But, like, I could do better. I know that.
That's why I grew my hair out, man. Damn.
That's why I grew my hair.
I put my hair down.
That's why Lee's in the band, right? To give him something to look at?
Oh, yeah. I got to make the left side of the stage just look like something's happening right there, even if it's like a whirlwind of hair.
Kyle actually has footage of me kicking his pedal across your stage, like as I'm sitting here,
multiple footages.
Like when there's room to move
just
around,
one time.
I don't just stand in the center. Like I try to move pan the stage best I can, and I did it one time. I was like, okay, noted. Not gonna do that again. And sure enough, I guess the lights went down and it was strobing. I straight kicked it again, and I was like, oh, like you probably see my face. Like look, I'm like, did it actuate? Like, I didn't know if I hit the button. And he said, bro, you see my amp head.
Don't press the button.
Change colors. Like, it actually happened. I was like, oops. But, yeah.
That's being in the moment. And that's, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. And it's cool that you all have a good attitude about that, too.
Well, I tell you what, it was a little PTSD from the Lancaster show. Like, I was,
That one was bad, yeah. Oh, yeah. I hit complete malfunction.
But it was when I walked.
Sound stopped.
It was when I walked in the same area, vicinity, and stepped on one of his cables. I didn't kick it or nothing. I just happened to walk near his amp and boom. I was like,
you've given Kyle's gear PTSD.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle's gear, an inanimate object, is afraid of you.
It's like, oh, here he comes again. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm like, don't walk close to my
almost
stuff,
like
man.
A DV situation.
Don't walk anywhere close to my
but
stuff.
Kyle reminded me, he said, I went back to the video. And like I cropped it, zoomed in and everything, saw your facial expression, what you did more than once, and I'm like...
I sent him the video. I just wanted... It was a learning experience.
You can get a reel out of that, you know, right? Like, that could make a good reel for social media.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
It's something I've been wanting to try out with our YouTube. And it's like make little short skits or take little moments like that from a show. And just post it up on YouTube and Facebook, just to like.
I mean, we would love to do that too. Like, you know, we're getting a little bit of help since Ariel's not here. By the way, she's got a busy weekend with a big vendor show. So, but Ariel's been helping me out, put little stuff together. It's so time consuming trying to splice together video and edit videos. You know, it's really hard to do, but it does work. I mean, you see a lot of people that don't have day jobs, that all they do is entertainment, and you'll see a lot of them are constantly posting reels and stuff, and it's just, when you have that kind of time, you can do that.
I mean, with the reach that, like, things like TikTok and those YouTube shorts and Instagram shorts that I have, I mean, it'd be a fool's errand not to try and make some of those things, because I mean, you're just sitting there on the toilet just flipping through 40.
Is that where you're watching TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
Who edits?
Is this out of the normal for y'all?
Who edits the videos for Strike the Tower? Does Josh do this?
I think it's Josh.
Because that's humorous. It's really good editing. I want to give him a shout out on that. Yeah, every Josh video I see from him, it's a delight.
Yeah, they do really good with the promo videos for shows. So I like what they're doing there. I actually asked Missy if she could get him to do one for the Rooster Olympics to get like all the bands involved to do like little snippets, splice it together. I realize that's a big ask.
He'd love doing it, probably.
I gotta give it to him because I mean I've been learning little bits of like editing here and there. I'm like, how does he do this? What kind of wizardry?
Well, it's a skill. You know, it's a skill that you build. You know, something you do enough, you get really good at it, then you can put it together quick. You know, I want to switch gears. I want to talk about the name of your band, A Young Man's Burial. It's been a burning question for me. I want to know how you came up with that name. Whose idea was it? Somebody talk to me about the name AYMB.
Well, so basically, it's a tough question to answer, to be honest with you. It's a little bit of a sad story. Me and Josh were playing in a band. God, how many years ago?
Well, I did want to put this. I sent this to Missy. I don't know if she's going to type it out or not. But Kyle and I were messing around with music. We worked at Taco Bell at the same time. Real quick, he's like, man, there's this band looking for a bass player and a vocalist. And I was like, I'll tag along with you. And the day we showed, it was like, boom, all right, you're bass, you're vocal. But they were called Survival of the Fittest.
Okay.
Well, long story short, the drummer at the time, he had a really hard addiction to opiates.
Okay.
And, he was only 15 at the time, and he ended up ending his own life because he just couldn't get off of it.
That's brutal.
You know?
At 20 years of age.
So that's actually what the... it's an homage to Mike. That's what it is. You know, we'll never... Me and him, like, just we were really good friends, me, him, and Josh. So.
We used to play, like, on the water, and his parents stayed at the lake. So we'd have, like, 20, 30 people coming out and listening to us play Kill Switch Engage, Five Finger, Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, we were basically a cover band, but it was a really good part of both our lives.
Was that the first band you guys were in?
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first one.
That's the first band I've been in, period.
So he passes away, and you guys want to keep doing the thing, and you decide at that point, we're gonna call this thing A Young Man's Burial. How do Najee and Lee come into the fold?
Very much later, and after a lot of other people came in.
Okay, yeah. So you had a revolving door there for a minute.
For a long time, yeah. I mean, how many years are we deep in this experience now, Josh?
15, going on 16.
With A Young Man's Burial, I think so. Yeah, somewhere around there. But, you know, people come and go. That happens a lot. But with these two clowns.
I'm just after him.
You're stuck with me now.
We love them to death, man, and they're not going anywhere. I mean, this is the tightest knit group that I've ever had the opportunity and the.
They're gonna have a job
for the drummer. Pleasure of working with.
We've had guys just not feel it no more. We've had guys that had maybe the neighbor kicked their dog and they were just upset that day and they didn't want to play no more. But these guys here, especially Najee, has been through just about every scenario for him to want to throw his hands up, and he's there every practice, and he's ready to go. That makes Kyle and I feel really comfortable because we've been through so many people, and to see, you know, guys like that stick it through no matter what happens, we're really comfortable, and that's why we're able to take off the way we did, because we're not insecure if we're going to have a bass player or a drummer tomorrow or... I mean,
that is the hardest part of being in specifically an original band or a band that does original music is finding people that are dedicated. You know, I see a lot of musicians now, and you know, a lot of people will commit to doing, you know, covers because you can easily get gigs on the weekends. You know, and then but then there's people that really want to write music. And it's really, really hard to find people that will stay committed to a project, you know. Plus, everyone evolves as artists. You know, you know, the stuff that you were into when you were 15 isn't necessarily, you still love it, but you're doing something completely different now. We see it happen all the time with bands that we love. Their sound changes as time passes, and then maybe somebody's not feeling this vibe anymore, and they drop out. It is hard. I mean, you got to treat a band like a family.
My voice literally changed on the way to record the EP. Like, we were like wondering if we should send me back and redo it. I'm like, no, I think that's what my voice is now. It's just got this scratchiness to it. I was like, because before we were like, man, you know, maybe we should redo it. And I was like, I don't know. I think this is where I'm at. And since then, it's the same. You know, because you listen to, like, Danny Warstop's always been an idol of mine. He was a beast when he was younger. He's still awesome. Like, his voice from going punk-ish to just that rasp and grit.
Yeah. But I got to give it to Josh, too, because, I mean, the amount of effort it took to keep that rasp in his voice afterwards, he's been deep-throating a microphone every night since we recorded to keep that same tone.
Yeah, so it just completely clicked. Just trying to clear that up.
I'll fuck it with you, bro.
But with the band thing.
And you say I don't practice.
Also find a group of people that share in the same vision of like, hey, this is what we want to play. I mean, we all want to play the same sort of music together. And I mean, all of our songs are slightly different from each other, so it never gets old.
When you guys write, is there a specific process you follow? Does everyone
Jesus Christ, yes, there is. The process is this right here.
Let's hear it.
This motherfucker right here comes up with like 1,000 different songs in his head, and then you just got to sit there.
You just have to fucking sit there
and hope to God that you're doing it right.
Yeah, pretty much Kyle writes the songs, I complain about the songs, and then he rewrites the songs. Then we show Josh to try and teach him the song. And then Najee's just like, I got this, man. We play it once. He's like, yeah.
And then we rewrite the song again. So anything that you learned that first time when it's all said and done, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, at the same time. We'll play a song in front of you 3 times and then be like, I don't like that. And then we'll change the song again.
And then you're the idiot because you don't know the new version.
That's accurate.
But I do give it up to Najee.
Extremely accurate.
Oh, yeah. Najee... We'll play a song a little bit differently every single time. I mean, just how he feels on it. But, like, he will remember. Like, we've had drummers in the past. It's like writing on a notebook. Like, how did I do that last time? Like, he comes in on fire. I mean, he might have to warm up a little bit. But he'll play along with anything Kyle throws at him. And I do give him props for that. Now, Kyle, sometimes he'll write the riffs and the lyrics. And then they'll tell me. Or he'll be like, hey.
Kyle
listen to this riff, write some lyrics, and then I'd have to hunker down.
I know he has. I don't like that shit.
The Scars Remain song that we did on stage, he had wrote that song to its entirety, and then we're working on a new one now that just we were rehearsing yesterday. Super stoked about.
Yeah, we should be able to play that.
I was able to, the May
show we got going on here.
I knew they would do that to me.
In case you were wondering, you can see A Young Man's Burial here at the Rooster on May 19th with Death of August.
Oh, yeah.
And Captain Ruins is coming up from Charleston, South Carolina. They're gonna
I hope they take me back with them.
Shout out to those guys as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to play that show.
I'm pretty stoked about seeing Death of August, to be honest with you. I haven't seen them yet, and I just keep hearing awesome things about them, and I'm really excited to see those guys as well.
Yeah, same here. Actually, that's what I was... I can't remember who I said that to, but yeah, I'm like, I see them all the time, but I've never actually seen them perform. Like, I see them all over social media and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so for those who don't know, most nights when you come into the Rooster, you're going to hear local music on the PA. Now, every now and then, we'll put on like a playlist, like a hard rock playlist or something, or a hip-hop playlist, but most nights, it's I try my best to keep putting original local bands on. So, you know, all of these bands that we interview on the podcast, all these bands that play our stage, once we book a show, I go and make sure that we're following every band on that bill and that we're playing their music because we want to promote the local scene as well. But Death of August is one that's just we've kept playing and on the PA, and I just keep seeing their posts on social media, and everyone that sees that they're playing, they're like, oh, you got Death of August coming. So that gets me excited. You know, when people are excited that someone's coming here, it gets me more excited.
They've been doing their thing for a minute. I've seen them a few times and just supporting the local music scene. Them chicks can rip it, man. They're cool. last time I seen them, I think their drummer was moving on. But that was a little while ago. I know they did some acoustic acts that I was actually really wanting to go check out. But I'm looking forward to playing with them for sure.
Now, talk to me for a minute about how you got hooked up with Creative Music Management. It's always fun to hear these stories.
Well, I was on Facebook and saw that Nonpoint was coming in. And I saw, I was adding a lot of friends in the music scene. I saw Novo Omega. And Scars Remain on there, and Nova was just saying, hey, Missy's our new manager. And I'm looking at this flyer, and I'm like, it's Nonpoint and two of this lady's bands. Like, I want to meet her. Like, she's obviously a savage. I sent her a message, just talking to her, come to find out were from the same small area in upstate New York, and it was like, whoa, I used to get ice cream there. And it was like, it was a neat conversation. So I talked to Kyle. I said, we need to go meet this lady. I'm going up there to Amos's, to the Nine Point show, which he likes Nine Point. He's like, let's go. So we went up there, went straight to the merch booth and shook hands with her. Travis came up to me from Scars, was like, I gave Misty my blessing. I was like, oh, appreciate you, man. I love Travis. He's quite a character, man. So we started talking. She was like, believe it or not, she was like, I don't really want to manage more than four bands. And I just picked up, picked up 50 flies. And I'm like, so we would be the fourth one? I was like, Kyle, this is our window. We have to take this window. Like, and so we just hopped on with her. And I mean, it was a slow progression with old, the first shirt design that we used. I bought 7 years ago from some guy off Facebook that created it.
Yeah.
For like $150. Now you can make whatever you want. I mean, Lee's proved that.
Oh, yeah.
But
did Lee design the new shirts?
Yes, Lee did.
You can get new, AYMB has new shirts available. I got one when you guys were here a couple weeks ago. I got the one with the,
The red.
Oh, that's my favorite.
The cooler of the two is what you got.
Everyone showed up, like all of the, you know, the Icon Pit crew that showed up for that show, they all got here early, and all of them had the blue shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, that's a dope shirt. I was like, hey, I get one. And then y'all showed up, and I went out to get one, and I'm looking at your booth, and I'm like, well, no, I want that one.
That's the beauty of them, because, I mean, I was the only person in the band. I was like, the blue one's awesome. And Mitzi was like, I like the blue one, too. And everyone else was all about the red one. And I was like,
where can people get a T-shirt if they want one?
You can contact us through our Facebook page. Pretty much say the size, and Mitzi will handle it from there.
Rock and roll.
She'll tell us where to
ship it. But I tell you what,
come out and see us at the Rooster on May 19th. You can also get your shirts there.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing I will say this about Missy and all the bands on CMM. One of the things I respect most about the way Missy does business is who she chooses to do business with. And every single one of the bands that I've met so far with CMM are the most supportive bands in the scene. Everyone that's a part of the CMM family, they show up to each other's shows, they share each other's posts, they're constantly interacting on social media, and every time a new song drops, my timeline is just flourished with all the different CMM bands, the members of the bands, individual members of bands. It's the most supportive group of people in the scene. That's what attracted me to do business with Missy in the first place. You know, we talked about it when she did the podcast. If you want to know the whole story about how Missy and I met, go back and watch that episode. But, you know, she was, her and Rob both, they came down here and talked to me, and they're just, the level of support and commitment to doing what we do is, you know, you can't ignore it. You know, you can't ignore it, and you can't act like it's not working either. You know what I'm saying? It's proven that attitude and that way of approaching doing what we do works, because every show gets bigger and bigger. More people are coming out. More people are joining the family. More people are joining the pit crew, and that's how we grow. And it takes guys like you that have the attitudes you do about what we do to kind of build up a scene. And that's probably my favorite thing about CMM is the commitment and support.
Wait for the family reunion at the Rooster Olympics. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, honestly, though, just to touch on what you're saying, I mean, it's fucking refreshing, man. I mean, you know, you can attest to it. I know you were playing shows back when shit was cutthroat. Like, I mean, you'd show up to a venue and, you know, you'd be like casually like, hey, where do I go? And everyone would kind of like not really want to help you with shit.
Like, they would just look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, and it was really like, oh, they got on that show. Screw those guys. And, you know, it just used to be really ugly and not fun, you know?
Even when you went to go support a band back then, be like, hey, man, I'm in a band. They'd be like, whatever, buy a shirt. Piss off.
Yeah, we haven't had any shows like that. I try to steer clear of negativity and negative attitudes. And, you know, there's I love supporting people that want to be part of what we're doing. You know.
Another thing, Josh Townsend again. We're supporting another band, and he said I was telling him the same topic, and he said, "Yeah, man. I mean, it's not really like that anymore. And if you think about it, it's just strength in numbers. Like, if we could change the scene." All bands, I mean, that's really going to get us where we need to be. Instead of just trying to drag somebody down to get up to the top, we just
instead
all
of being
just
like a competition, so to speak. Like, if you're in a competition,
yeah, I mean, it's,
you're not going to make it. You just give it your best every time you go.
Well, you're tearing down your audience.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
You see that CMM badge, like, on a flyer or something, you know.
You know, that's going to be a good show.
People are going to show up and just support you because
there's going to be family there.
Yeah.
Well, and then you know, if you're still skeptical, the proof is right in front of you. The announcement was made this week that Scars Remain will be at Blue Ridge Rock Fest.
Oh yeah.
There's potentially tens of thousands of people will get to see a CMM band play. People from all over the country. And that's the power of, like you said,
big shout out and congratulations to them as well.
Oh, yeah, for real. Yeah. That's an amazing opportunity.
They deserve it, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Show them what we got.
Yeah. I know we'll be, my wife and I will be there. You know, I'm sure you guys will be there as well. I don't know if you're going, but I'm most excited to go see Scars now. That's why I'm going now.
I shared it, and I said, I want to make sure all my friends and family, y'all are going. Be front row. Support these guys. These guys are from here. They're doing their thing, and it's pretty kick ass to see.
Yeah.
Like, to know that we even shared a stage with somebody that got in that far, like, kind of boosted up my own confidence. So I was like, damn. We are playing with big timers now.
Yeah.
Like, I love it, and we all just push each other. Shout out Travis for wearing the blue AYB shirt at the Outback show. You wore the shit out that shirt, friend.
Oh, yeah.
You did. Thank you again.
And Josh Townsend, he was repping the red one up on stage.
At Ground Zero.
At Ground Zero.
Remember, I said Josh's name twice. But thank you too, buddy. Love you, brother.
You need to say it about four more times because Josh Townsend, he rules. Love that guy.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, and he's another one that shows up to shows here to support the other band stuff. And you know, anyways, it's a great big love fest, right? We're doing, you know, I'm so grateful, and I feel fortunate that it didn't take me long to find you guys and Missy and everyone involved with CMM because, you know, look, you know, without this group of people, I don't get to keep doing this, you know, and the world and guys like you. Bands need stages to play, you know. You need places to get out there and perform and get in front of audiences. And unfortunately, you know, the way the world is now, little small mom and pop places like the Rooster, they're few and far between.
How many of them shut down?
When Tremont closed, Amos's I thought was shutting down entirely. I thought they sold the whole building, but they only sold half of it at the time. Like that was around the time. Like, and then with like COVID and everything, I was freaking out, man.
It was the rest.
Well, I guess I'm just going to build a stage in the backyard and we're just going to invite people over. Fuck it, let's go. Like,
yeah, that gives me an interesting question. What would you be doing creatively if you weren't in a band?
Hmm.
Mm. I mean,
probably nothing.
Drawing pictures of cats.
Drawing?
And fruit. I don't know.
I couldn't tell you because, I mean,
I probably
so your reaction to that question just it enforces the point that I'm going to make is how much we need this. How much artists need a platform, how much artists need to get out there and do what they do, because that's our gift, right? That's what we have to give the world, and if you take that away, it turns us into nothing, really. Like, it's your identity.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and I'd have to spend a lot of money in therapy. I'm being real, like this, when we get together, like, if we, like, miss one practice, like, rarely, if we miss one, and, like, I had a rough 2 weeks, like, these guys know, like, when they leave, I blow this shit out, like, I just throw it out there,
He's gonna put a hole in one.
And this,
he keeps trying.
But now, like they all know I'm a very emotional person. You could this new song that we're working on now. I mean, read between the lines and everything, and then our song Red. I literally wrote that. Like Kyle had had a we thought about like a new metal style song because we just like to do all styles. Like we don't sell ourselves out of one particular sound. Like we just want to. Well, we might have a country song next week. Who knows?
Hey, now.
That's the beauty of A, Y, and B, where I keep joking with everyone, where it's like we take metalcore and mix it with some other genre of music and create some weird stuff. So, I mean,
like, Red was not really our style, but, like, it's really a slap in the face, the court system yet again.
Slap in the face of what?
Courts.
The courts.
Yeah, it really depends on, like, when you mentioned Red not being our style, really, it really depends because,
I mean,
like,
it's got
at that point in time,
it's
like,
got those metalcore undertones. So,
you
what is our style?
You got what you had before me and Lee came in. Then, when me and Lee came in, like, kind of like the style didn't switch, but it did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Najee has a punk background in drums, and him adding those punk beats to metalcore style riffs, it adds a little bit more bounce to it. And I'm a terrible bass player, so I just play guitar parts.
He just stares. Lee just really stares at you.
Yeah, watch Lee's hands next time he's up there.
When his hair falls over his face, he's really staring at you. Just know that.
Oh, no, I'm looking straight at my fingers. I'm like, I can't miss any of this. I got to do what Kyle's doing, but with longer stretches.
And then Kyle will turn his back.
No. Hurt my timing. But I mean, before...
Ladies and gentlemen, the rhythm section.
Oh yeah, I'm
a
rhythm.
It's fun. You guys are a lot of fun to watch, and you know I can't wait to see you again. I mean, you guys got two more shows in like in the next 2 months here at the Roosters.
So oh, yeah.
You guys are definitely. You guys were great to be the first CMM takeover episode because you know, the relationship keeps growing. You know, I couldn't be more grateful. To have you guys in the Rooster family now.
And we could be more grateful for having a badass venue like this to play. Like
it's my personal favorite one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Perfect size stage, great sound, nice little setup.
I mean, but we played the opening show here.
Oh yeah.
Carolina Headbangers.
It's the only place where I felt special in our own little bathroom. I did a Snapchat in that bathroom. It's like bathroom in the green room. I feel so awesome right now.
Well, that was intentional. You know, when I got my hands on this spot, I kind of had a vision in my head of how I was going to make it look, and it was really important to me to have this green room with a private bathroom to make it easy to load in with the ramp, and like I wanted it to be real artist friendly. Because I want, like, you guys are what you're saying right now is the reason why I did this. Is I want artists to want to be here. I think it adds to the performance. You know that you know when you feel special and you go out on that stage and
yeah.
You know I think it adds a little bit of extra you know to the performance you give and it's happening. It's happening in real time. I'm watching it every night.
Even the little things.
Just, I mean, making it easier for us to get up there and just focus on the performance. Okay. Yeah, that's really
yeah, you,
what
in this green room. It's like you just like.
And at the same time, the crowd this place pulls in, just like they give great energy, and then we give great energy back, and it just kind of feeds.
Well, speaking of the crowd, that's you know that was another intentional decision to make this an all ages venue, and boy, am I glad I did that because we're having just last night we had the Sugar in here, System of a Down tribute. My daughter is 12 years old. There was probably 10 to 12 or 10 to 15 kids here that were between the ages of 10 and 15, right? So there's a nice little group of kids here. And that whole show, those kids were front and center the whole time, moshing, jumping, dancing, singing along. My 12-year-old was singing along with System. It was moving. And it's like, as artists, I asked the guys after the show, I was like, you know, I hope that felt good to you. I was like, did you see the kids? And they're like, man, they've never seen that before. You know, you're playing venues that are 18 and up or 21 and up. There's a lot of bands coming here, and it's the first time they've ever seen kids jamming out to their music. And God, it makes me feel so good.
It's crazy. My son's about to be 12 in July, and I did not push him on System of the Down. He did that on his own. He just brought it to my attention not too long ago. I was like, this is crazy. All this stuff was made before you were conceived.
I mean,
little homie, like,
a System of a Down, man.
I know. That stuff lives forever, man. Like, yeah.
It just
stuff.
Goes to show how big of an influence music can actually have. Yeah, and every generation you really look at, like, hey, my dad used to listen to this. My grandpa used to listen to this. Like, music is timeless.
And it's how we stay connected to our past and to the people in our lives that we lose and, you know, all of that. You know, it's art's the only medium we have to do those things. You know, you can't get that doing this.
Yeah.
You can't be connected to people doing this.
And you never know, like, just one random show could inspire a kid to just, hey, I'm going to just learn how to play guitar. And next thing you know is you end up with Polyphia.
Facts.
That's a dope band. Oh, yes. What you just said is something I've said on this show in the early days about what the potential we have with what we're doing here to inspire some kid. You know, that maybe there's some 16-year-old kid who has no friends that decides to come to a show here one day, and you know he's one bad day away from just saying F it and you know. Trying to kill himself, and then he comes to an AYMB show, and he sees Kyle up there screaming, and Josh up there moving back and forth, and he and all of a sudden it just pops in his head. It's like, man, this is something worth living for, and you know maybe you know I'm being hyperbolic about it, but maybe we can save a life or two having a scene like we have.
And it just takes one person. It just takes that one person. Just
one experience. Just one show just can inspire an entire career for a kid.
Oh yeah, because I mean, like when I was growing up, I mean the whole reason why I was like, well, I want to play music. I mean I remember watching old like live performances of Metallica and Iron Maiden, and I was like, I want to do that. And then a buddy of mine just said, "Hey man, I want to start a band."
That you know what? This is a good way to put a bow on the show. I'm going to start with Lee. We're going to come all the way this way. I want you all to tell me and tell our audience who was the band or what was the concert that inspired you to do what you're doing now.
Ooh, oh, boy, I know that one.
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, like I said, I just live videos, and I was like, "Oh, that's awesome!" Then I went pursued like looking into music. And a buddy of mine was just looking for, like, hey, man, we're 12, 13 years old. Let's grab a bunch of people that don't know how to play instruments. Let's all learn together and figure it out. And from there, it just went.
Nausea, what's your story?
The show that got me playing drums was Carolina Rebellion. I literally saw just about every last one of my favorite bands playing. And probably 6 months after that, I actually picked up a pair of drumsticks and started playing.
Wow, that's not that long ago.
It was the very first one. I was like, dude. Yeah, that was like, what, 2010?
2011? When they had the dragon, my son was about to be born.
It was
my
tough.
Son was like 2 months away
about,
from me.
Everybody about died at that show. It was so hot.
Oh, dude, everybody.
It was so damn hot.
At the end of the A7X show, everybody was laid out. I thought it was dead bodies everywhere. I was like,
I was at the car taking the video. I was like, bro, it's still hot as balls out here, bro.
Kyle, what about you?
System of a Down, definitely. I know every single one of their songs, know every single word to every one of their songs. Like, definitely System of a Down for me.
Josh?
All right, mine was actually a video game. To be perfectly honest, I was playing Burnout on, like, the original Xbox.
Boy.
And I heard this Bullet song come on, and I was like, oh, shit. I feel like I really like their stuff. Bullet. And then they had their EP, and then
Bullet
they dropped their they dropped their
man.
Poison album, and then my Russian buddy, he's like, "Yo, dude, want to go to a concert?" I was like, "Yeah, let's go." We went to the House of Blues. It was my first big time concert. I had some influences in high school. I had a buddy that was in a band, and I tagged along with him. But as far as like concert, we went to the House of Blues at Myrtle Beach. And that's when they released their second album, and they had that song, like, Eye of the Storm. Mm-hmm. We were literally, it was like Hurricane Hannah. The parking lot was flooding, and we're in there just jamming the fuck out. It's like, y'all are fucking crazy. I was like, yeah! And then my buddy had like a cold air intake on the front of his 350, and it just kept getting water. Like, we didn't know he was going to get out of there, man. But we had a time of our lives at that fucking show.
Awesome. Well, for me, early on, I was 13 years old when Rage Against the Machine put their first album out. And my childhood friend, kid I grew up with, my head of security, shout out to Justin, he got a hold of the cassette tape, and I'm dating myself now, but I was hanging out at his house. It was in the middle of the summer, and he put this tape in, and by the end of Killing the Name, we were on his mom and dad's couches, jumping up and down, screaming, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, 13 years old. Yeah. And I was like, I'm never going to forget that experience. Like listening to that tape, it took me on this, I got so into music after that. And then shortly after that, Mother Love Bone became Pearl Jam, and that was kind of, again, I'm old. That was kind of what sucked me in. But then as I got older, you know, even before then, you know, I really liked Guns N' Roses and Pantera, stuff like that, and Metallica. But it was that Rage Against the Machine tape. I was like, oh, you could say these things? You can do this? and that's kind of took me on this, you know, 30-year ride that I've been on. So before we get out of here, tell everybody where to find you. If you've got other dates coming up that you want to plug, plug away, and we'll wrap it up.
That's y'all's domain.
Yeah.
Look us up on Facebook, Young Man's Burial. You can see us here May 19th at the Rooster, and look out for more songs coming your way, man. We have a lot more coming.
I was to say, should we?
We got a couple on the bank already.
Can we tell them the release date of the next song?
Yeah, sure, if you remember it.
It's
you fucked up 2 days.
They didn't
already.
Even tell me this yet, yeah, guys. So I feel special.
I don't remember.
Yeah, our next song we're planning on releasing June 9th.
Y'all heard it when I did.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we
what's that one called?
Close fucker to it.
We got keep you in the dark. You just go telling people.
I do have a problem with that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking to me today, fellas. I really appreciate it. I've enjoyed this a lot. I can't wait to see you again May 19th. And then again on June 24th for the Rooster Olympics, raising money for Webb Street Schools. So please come hang out and participate in that fundraiser. And look them up, AYMB, A Young Men's Burial on Facebook, Instagram. They're part of the Creative Music Management family. You can look them up as well on social media. And fellas, let's get out of here, man. Peace and love.
Take it easy.
What up?
Nice.